Mike DeGubin and Maranatha. Welcome, beloved, to a few moments of Bible study together, and I'm delighted and so glad that you have joined us for these few moments as we again look into the Word of God and consider this subject of rejection, which has impacted all of our lives to some degree, to some extent, causing feelings of worthlessness, wishing we had not been born, feelings of inferiority, the inability to express our feelings, causing depression, emotional insulation, subjectivity, introspection, perfectionism, little self-discipline, our irresponsibilities, worries, doubts, fears, self-condemnation, self-hatred, guilt, self-rejection. All of these are various aspects of rejection and the impact that it has upon the life of an individual. Now, we've been talking about various illustrations from the Word of God where we've seen rejection. And we're presently talking about Jacob, and we're in Genesis chapter 32, as we see the fix that Jacob has gotten himself into. Jacob has done a lot of rejecting. He rejected his brother Esau. He rejected his father Isaac by not telling him the truth. He's rejected his uncle Laban, and uncle Laban has thus rejected him 10 times. He's changed his wages. And thus we see that Jacob, God has spoken to him, told him it's time to leave, and he's noticed that Laban's countenance is not toward him, in favor of him, but really unhappy with him. And so Jacob and his family, he talks to his wives, they agree, let's go. Our father has taken our money, our inheritance, has squandered it, used it for his own purpose. We have nothing here. Let's leave. And so Jacob starts out, and he sends a message to Esau because he knows Esau has vowed to kill him. And so he sends word to Esau that Esau might forgive him and might accept him because he's longing for acceptance. And yet we see that Esau is coming with 400 men, a small army, and Jacob has nothing compared to what Esau's bringing with him. There's no way he can fight him. And so Jacob turns to the last source of help. And so many times we human beings are exactly like that. We do everything we can to fix our problems. We do everything we can to resolve our difficulties. And as a last resort, we'll turn to God. And we see that's what Jacob has done here. He's divided up his family into two different groups. He's divided up the animals into two different groups, hoping that if Esau comes to one and destroys the one, the others will escape. And so Jacob is trying to fix the fix that God has fixed to fix him. Jacob's been running from God for many, many years, and yet God's been gracious and merciful to Jacob, for God is long-suffering and patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we see if we fix the fix that God fixed to fix us, then God has to fix another fix to fix us because we fix the first fix that God fixed to fix us. A statement by Jack Taylor. And that's very, very true, beloved. How many times we try to manipulate situations and circumstances that God has allowed in our lives to teach us and to conform us to His image. That's why Romans 8:28-29 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." To we who have accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, have been born again by the Spirit of God, God working in our life through every situation, every circumstance, through tragedy, through trial, to teach us and to conform us, verse 29 of Romans 8, that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the reason God allows hard and difficult things into our lives, is to knock off the rough edges like a diamond cutter, knocking away the rough edges and shaping that diamond to reflect and catch the light and to be beautiful. And so God is at work in our lives, knocking off the rough edges through the use of trials and difficulties and hard circumstances that sometimes cause us to cry out, "Why, O Lord? Why are you allowing this to happen? Why has this occurred in my life? Why has this problem arisen? What's going on?" God is at work, molding and shaping and forming us into an image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be a reflection of Christ, that we might be the testimony that would glorify the Lord. Many people ask why my sweetheart wife has 3 or 4 broken vertebras now and several broken ribs because of the osteoporosis. Just by turning, these things have broken because her bone density is a -4.5%. In other words, her bones are just shells. And the reason's because she's been on a thyroid medication for many, many years because of a thyroid imbalance. And it has affected her bones. And thus we see the difficulty that she's in. She's now bedfast and not even able to sit at the table to eat, but has to eat in bed. And wonderful fact is that when she's lying down, the pain is diminished. But when she gets up, it increases. And so she's on all types of medication trying to control the pain. And so people say, "Why does God allow this?" And yet she has a beautiful attitude. She has a sweet spirit. And many people call and talk to her and are encouraged by talking to her because of her sweet spirit and attitude. And they say, "How can you have that kind of an attitude? How can you have that kind of spirit?" And she says, "It's not me. It's the Lord working through me." And God gave her a verse one day when she was struggling and trying to understand what was going on. God gave her Philippians 1:29, I believe it is. "For it is given unto you not only to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for His sake." And so she says, "My suffering is a gift from God. God has given it to me," he says, "to suffer for Jesus' sake." And because of her suffering, my focus is now up on the radio ministry and up on the internet broadcast. And the Lord is expanding our ministry in areas we never dreamed, and we're reaching people we never imagined that would be able to reach, because I've had to give up a ministry in a local church, working with a local church, in order to take care of her and to focus on meeting her needs. And as a result, I've been able to focus on the radio ministry, and God is now expanding our ministry and enabling us to reach many, many people in many areas of the world that we would never have reached had my darling not be ill. And so, beloved, God knows what He's doing in our lives. And so instead of trying to fix the fix that God allows us to be put into, let's trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him and let Him direct our path. He knows what's best for you and me. He wants us to remember 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, that I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. The price was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And thus I'm God's property. He has redeemed me. He purchased and brought me back from the slave market of sin. And now I'm a slave, a bond servant a bond slave of Jesus Christ. That's the literal meaning of the word in the Hebrew and in the Greek, a slave. And that's who I am. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. I'm God's property. I remember the day that I knelt beside our bed and I prayed, Lord, I'm your property. You can do with me, in me, and through me, whatever you desire to do, to your glory, your honor, and your praise. I sign the check. You fill in the amount. I'm yours. And I surrendered to the Lord in a way that I never had before. Before I'd said, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. But the emphasis was on Bob Griggs. I was going to do it for the Lord. And, beloved, God can't use us that way. The only way God can use us is when we come to the end of ourself, when we move off of the throne of our spirit, and we yield it fully and completely to the Holy Spirit, and say, Lord God, set upon the throne of my life, rule and reign in this body. It's yours to do with, in, and through whatever you desire, no matter what it costs, no matter what it involves, no matter if it means dying for the cause of Christ. Beloved, complete and full surrender opens up an avenue to bountiful, wonderful blessings and a sweet, precious relationship with Christ like you've never known. And it's God's best, and it's what God wants for you and for me. But how many times, like Jacob, we try to manipulate, we try to work things out in our own ability, in our fleshly energy, we try to serve God, and we live a miserable, wretched, defeated life because the old flesh with indwelling sin keeps tripping us up and keeps pulling us down, and the good that we mean to do, we do not and cannot do it because of sin that's working within our old flesh. And we cry out with Paul, as he did in the last few verses of Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And the victory, beloved, is in Jesus Christ. O beloved, walk with the Lord and yield to Him the right of way. Till next time, goodbye.